you know, at any company you're working for, there's always pressing needs or whatever. And if you can be that guy, that person to, you know, satisfy that for the business, that that makes you a valuable player for sure.
Yo, 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 what is going on, everybody? This is your boy Los Carlos here with the Motor Misfit Podcast. And we have a great episode today because, guys, we have an amazing guest on with us today. So definitely buckle in and let's get started with this. Today we are talking with freelance copywriter Joe Dwyer. Joe has been an active contributor in the automotive industry. How you doing, Joe?
Good. How you doing, Carlos?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I was already starting to get into your bio or my little intro on you, and then I realized I didn't even say hi to you, man. Right? But let me just introduce you a little bit, Joe, and then we can have you introduce yourself a little bit more than what I can, okay?
Sounds good.
Perfect. So, guys, Joe has been an active contributor in the automotive industry. He worked as a copywriter, or he does work actually as a copywriter, and his work could be seen on notable blogs, websites, product packaging, press releases, sell sheets, videos, and much, much more. He did work at Magnaflow and was part of their creative team. His work there, guys, if you have not checked it out, if you have not seen it, it is pure art in word form. Today, Joe will take us through his journey and will provide us with some great insight into copywriting. I'll pass it on over to him and he can share a little bit more about himself.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Carlos. Yeah, I've been in this industry now for about 9 years, and I got into it basically right out of college. I was hired for a marketing coordinator role at a real estate brokerage, and it was very apparent early on that they needed a copywriter. And I've always had a strong writing background, and I've been the person when people needed their papers graded or whatever, they came to me, and I've always been involved in the artistic side of it, creative writing and things like that. So I was like, yeah, I can do that. And from then on, I became a copywriter, got a lot of on the job experience throughout the various, you know, positions and freelance opportunities I've had over the years. And yeah, I'm chugging along. And of all the roles that I've had, certainly my favorite would have to be recently at Magnaflow, working in the auto industry for the first time. That was a highlight of my career so far, just because I've always been into the automotive space.
Awesome, man. And, you know, that's how I found you, man. I was like, I kept seeing some of the work that you've done there, some of the blog posts, some of the, like I said, press releases and stuff like that, and just write-ups on their websites. And I was like, oh, crap. You know, Joe really has some art here, you know? So
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's hard to find, like, you know, they tell you nowadays that the written word is like outdated and stuff like that, because everything's going like video or or digital or you know, what we're doing right now, a podcast. But there's still art in that. It's like when you read a really good like write-up or blog, it like, you know, it does something to you. And you're like, damn, you know, he definitely put what I was thinking into his writing, you know?
That's awesome to hear. As one who writes it, and, you know, when you're putting stuff out, you don't know who's going to read it, right? But you hope that it's enjoyed. And even on, even as the industry, as things get more popular, like video and things like that, it's worth remembering too that oftentimes, I mean, not in a podcast as much necessarily, but at least in like a pre-recorded video format, oftentimes there's some writing involved with that as well. Yeah. So there's scripts to be written, there's storyboarding, things like that. And I've also gotten to do some of that stuff over the years, which has been really fun.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. There's a lot of the thing with the auto industry to remember is that, like, from my perspective as someone who, like, works one of the, like, not kind of like you think of auto industry, you think of, okay, the companies build the cars, the companies sell the car, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But, you know, if pretty much any kind of role you could think of, there's a need for it in the auto industry.
What, for a copywriter or?
For a copywriter, but like for like, you know, like marketing coordination stuff for, I'm basically just saying there's all kinds of avenues to get into the industry. It's multifaceted. Copywriting is for me, I've always been jealous of people who could who are really good with like crafting with their hands, whether it's like metalworking or woodworking and stuff like that. Yeah. And I've always viewed working with words as like my the thing that I can contribute, you know. But yeah.
Definitely, man. No, and like you said, man, they contribute in their way and you contribute in your way. And just overall as a whole, like putting that together is where, you know, is where organizations, companies are born, man, because you need to have somebody obviously working with their hands, but then you need to have somebody being able to describe and tell a story about what is actually happening here, you know, and that's what you're doing. So that's awesome, man. And so obviously, Motor Misfit started because I just don't think that there's a lot of people out there that know how they can get into this industry, right? When I was younger, I thought that, well, I was told you can be two things, a mechanic or a car salesperson, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really it. So that's why I started this, to get, you know, stories like yours out there, and just letting people know that there's different avenues that they can go down to be able to get into this industry. So copywriter, right? Can you explain that a little bit more for those that don't know what that is?
Yeah, I mean, so copywriting is like, people confuse it a lot with like copyright, like, oh, I got something copyrighted, so it's like protected or whatever legally, which is understandable. They're essentially, that's said the same, right? But a copywriter in the sense of what I do is, copy is any sort of verbiage for a business, whether it's like stuff on their website or a press release they send out or an email they send out or the descriptions of their products on, you know, whether it's packaging or a website or what have you. And included in that is their blogs, and even as a more broad sense, like social media and stuff like that, that is a type of copy as well. But basically, as the copywriter, I'm the either the person creating that verbiage for whatever, whether it's a website or a product box or what have you, or I'm the one editing other people who have they develop the copy and they send it to me to like look over and make sure it all reads correctly and stuff like that. So that's mainly what a copywriter does. They're the business writer, essentially.
Oh, that's perfect, man. That's a perfect description there. And just as a follow-up question to that, is there anything that, like, is there any special, like, education needed? Obviously, you have to be able to write, right?
Yeah.
But is there any, like, special education needed? Do people need to go and get, like, their degree in this? Is there a certificate, or do they just start writing? Like, what would you recommend?
There are certainly, it's one of those, it's fortunate that it's one of those things where there isn't one clear-cut way to get into it, because people who are looking for writers, some of them are specific about wanting someone who's like an English major or something like that, somebody with a degree in a specific field, which I've got a degree in like political science or whatever, which I had to do some writing for, but as far as like,
and I'm sure that helps, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I've always been like, Like I started in writing like poetry and things like that. Like I've always been writing for my own kind of everything from like a, you know, stress relief, like catharsis, to just like putting my, trying to just like journal my thoughts and things like that. But and I've always kind of, like I mentioned before, I've always been like, when people wanted to like, hey, here's my, you know, when I was in school and I, like people wrote papers and stuff, they would like ask me to look over them just to make sure they were like all grammatically correct or whatever. And so I kind of got a lot of just like kind of experience from like growing up and exploring writing by my by myself. But then and then in college I took like one English class. It was Comedy in the United States was the class. But, and so that nice. Was fun. But yeah, so
that
as far
like
as
a cool class though.
Yeah, as far it was a cool class. As far as though getting into copywriting, I mean, it was mainly I got hired at my first job out of college as a marketing coordinator. And it was for this real estate company. So I was doing a lot of like helping people order business cards and things like that. And in the first week or two I was there, we had a big all hands on deck meeting. And the biggest pressing issue of the meeting was that it was this real estate company and they had all these agents writing their own stuff. And there was just no quality control. And they wanted somebody who like was good at writing, who could write copy for these agents and make all their stuff like proofread it and make it more kind of in line with the brand's voice and things like that. And I raised my hand and I was like, I can do that. And so from that day forward, I became the copywriter essentially, and took that experience with me to the next, you know, writing gig I had and so on. And so here I am now.
That's awesome, man. So that's great, man. And I like the fact that, you know, you made your own, how do you say it? You made your own path. You made your own decision to actually raise your hand and say, hey, I can take on this challenge. And that sets you off on this career, you know?
Yeah.
So that's great. If you wouldn't have done that, you know,
you yeah, could have for
gotten
sure.
here. But who knows how yeah. long or when, you know?
Yeah, or maybe I'd be talking to you about like marketing coordination or something. You know? I'd stuck with that. But no, I think it's really important to kind of take those opportunities as they come up, because it was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. And I saw a need, and pretty much at, you know, at any company you're working for, there's always pressing needs or whatever. And if you can be that guy, that person to you know, satisfy that for the business, that makes you a valuable player for sure.
No, definitely. And that's really what I like to convey, right? You are, obviously there's stuff that's out of your control, but what you can control, like if you want to go after something, then you do everything in your power that you can to be able to do that, right? And that part of that is taking those opportunities when they come, you know? And sometimes you don't look at it as an opportunity, but you have to be able to look at those and know what's an opportunity, what's not, to actually get you to where you want to go in life, you know?
Yeah.
So yep. That's awesome, man. So tell me a little bit, and, you know, I'm very curious. So from there to going to MagnaFlow, how did that happen, man?
Well, I was doing some freelance stuff at the time while also working at, I had been working doing some, I was, because I like cars, I was working at a nice. Fancy hotel as a valet, parking okay. all these rich people cars, Lamborghinis and stuff like that. It was fun.
Hey man, however you're able to drive them, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, as a car guy, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Even just getting to park these things, getting to drive them for like, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, whatever it was, I got a kick out of that. Mm-hmm. But so that's part of, you know, being creative, working in the creative space. A lot of times, you know, if you're between gigs like that and you're doing freelance and getting that off the ground, you know, sometimes you gotta you mix in the odd job or whatever too. And even that though, I was able to use in my time at Magnaflow because I could write about the interiors of these cars because I'd actually like been there. But
You
no,
felt the interior, you sat
yeah, I
in
was
it, you
like, the
drove
leather's
it.
really nice now. But so I was doing that until like COVID hit, and then that all happened. And so for a while I was just getting freelance work where I could, kind of thing. And but then I got I had been applying to jobs and stuff throughout all that time, and a recruiter reached out to me asking if I had any if I was interested at all in the automotive industry and stuff like that. And I got back to him, oh yeah, definitely, I'm a big car guy and everything. And I was told by Magnaflow that like by my the people who eventually became my supervisors there and whatnot, that what got me the job and what helped me stand out against the other people they were interviewing was my passion for automobiles.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that I was excited to write about the topic. That's what, so if you're applying to a thing that you're interested in, you instantly have that over everyone else who's less interested, if that makes sense, I guess.
No, man, like your passion comes out obviously when you're talking about a
Exactly.
subject that
And
you're interested in.
yeah, and like if you're a graphic designer, if you're in anything in the in any space, but I can only speak from the kind of creative side of things, that's what sells you, is that like, oh, this person's going to do a good job. And I'm sure it's the same for if you're working as a mechanic on vehicles, that anything where you can show that like you really care about it for the sake of itself, that gives you a, because that shows people that you're not just looking to like collect a paycheck and whatnot. You're actually like, this is like what you do want to collect that paycheck, but this is also you're like you really care about it. You're really invested in an emotional sense beyond the kind of economic investment.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a really big thing because I think people can weed that out. If you're
Yeah.
just trying to get a job just because I just want to get paid, I just need anything, that's you can kind of sniff that. Right.
Yeah.
But you can, on the flip side, you can definitely sniff out like those people that are actually passionate about something. And like you said, that's kind of like a, that draws people in. It's kind of like a drug because it's like, oh, damn, like I love
Yeah.
this
Well, and
person's passion in this and their interest,
In the car space, that if you are trying to fake it, that they will suss you out. You'll get people
Exactly.
asking like, oh, what's your favorite this and that, and you're just like, if you don't, you either have something to say about a thing or you don't, kind of thing. But
Exactly.
yeah.
So, what type of research went into that? I mean, did they have you, like, for example, you just said like car interior. Okay, so first off, you got the job, you passed the interview, you got this great job at Magnaflow. So, what kind of research did they have you like doing for like the different pieces that you wrote? I mean, for example, like car, you just mentioned car interior, so I actually sat in it, but did they actually just give you something like, hey, we need a story about this? Were you getting the stories? And also a follow-up on that is, what did you have to do to actually be able to write about that?
Yeah, I would say it's a range of things. It could be everything from like, here's what we want to write about. Whether it's like a featured build or talking about some of the technology of our products or whatever, it would run all the way from, I as the writer do a bunch of research, whether that's research online, reaching out to, in the case of a build, like reaching out to the builder or his team, reaching out or their team, reaching out to like I did a I covered one of Richard Petty's garage, one of his builds. And so I talked to the builder, the dude on his team who was the point person for it basically. and got the story of the build from interviewing them, kind of like this essentially, and the mm-hmm. the background and the inspiration behind it, and what kind of stuff they wanted to accomplish with the build and things like that, and all the way to on the other end of things, like where they I essentially am given all the information up front and hey, here, we need a story about this. Like there was a blog that I did at one point on a collaboration we did with the release of the latest Halo Xbox game that came out a few years ago. We did kind of a collaboration and where we made an exhaust on this vehicle look like the rocket launcher from the game or whatever kind of thing. And
that's awesome.
So that was it was awesome. And that was like, here's all the info for the build, we just need a story about it. So that was like kind of like that other example you mentioned. So it really runs the gambit from like, we know we want to write about this topic, but I need to do all the research, or I need to work with people across our team to do the research, to like, here's the complete package, we just need a story about it kind of thing. So it varies how you but the research could be anything from, you know, looking things up online to reaching out to the point person, whoever that is, and interviewing them about it.
Yeah, that's great, man. So like you just said, like it runs through like the whole gambit. Like you could be researching everything or nothing, or they could be putting you on this, putting you on that. Well,
yeah.
I won't say nothing because you always have to research, obviously, or you won't know what to write about. But it could be like a very extensive research, or just you just get little bits and pieces of stuff.
Yeah. Well, even like with when you get like a complete package of like, here, we need to turn this into a story, but here's all the details already. Even then you end up doing some research to pull in like outside references and things like that, or just get a broader topic on it. Cause it's one thing to get, you know, info on a project from a person, but then it's another thing also to get to look at other coverage of that product where, you know, the subject in question, it's the difference of like talking to somebody about their car and then seeing other coverage of people covering that same car, if that kind of makes sense. Different perspectives on the same project, I guess. But so even
because not everybody has the same like ideas or
Yeah. And if the builder says, oh, this is the fastest whatever, and then you check another source, it's like, oh, not really. So it's kind of it's good to like in my case, just be curious enough to care to look into it kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And I am probably 100% sure that you being an automotive enthusiast really helped out on everything that you wrote.
Oh yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to write the blogs I was writing if I didn't come in with some prior knowledge of it. I worked with people on my team who were like, hey, you know, I'm not a car person, but that didn't stop them at like, they, you know, they did great work and were, you know, great at their positions and everything. But they also weren't in a situation where they were having to write about the stuff and describe it and talk about it, you know? For a role like that, where you're like creating the outward facing, whether you're the spokesperson for a thing or you're creating the videos or the, you know, the visuals or the words, it helps to have an understanding of the topic and an interest in it beyond just like, this is my job.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And that's good, man, because I can imagine that maybe the, I guess, where they used to hand out the work, they would kind of know who to give it to and who not to give it to. Like a guy like you, obviously an enthusiast, they know like what to put you on or what to let you roll with, you know?
But yeah.
Talking about your automotive enthusiast, right? Mm-hmm. I want to jump into our lightning round. This was awesome. Like you explaining the copywriting process, you explaining what it is, and basically how you got into the industry and now still in the industry, how you keep just evolving. So thank you for that. But now we got a lightning round, right? So these are a few questions that I'm gonna throw at you, right? They're quick answers, right? It's called the lightning round because I don't want you to think about it too much, right? Whatever you think of first.
All right.
Come out, right? All right, here we go.
Sounds good.
So what was that one car that sparked your automotive enthusiasm?
Honestly, I would have to go, and it's funny because the owner of the car is by no stretch like a car person, but it was my dad when I was real little had one of those, I don't know if it was a late 80s or an early 90s Celica, Toyota Celica, and it with the pop-up headlights.
Oh, those are nice.
And that, yeah, it wasn't, I found out later on, like, it wasn't that fast of a car or anything. It just looked cool.
Yeah, I used to have I think I had one with the pop-up headlights and then the ones that came right after.
Okay, yeah. The, like, mid-90s ones or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have that one for long because that one had electrical issues, but I always like the Celicas, man.
yeah. I mean, to me, it looked like a spaceship, and that, like, growing up, I've always been interested in machines of all kind, and so I was like, oh, this is my dad's little like road spaceship or whatever, and so that was probably what got me interested in like thinking cars were cool as, you know, as machine kind of thing.
That's awesome, man.
And yeah,
so it was the Toyota Celica. All right.
Yeah.
Perfect. So what if you had, all right, so that's the first question. I got another question for you.
All right.
And then another one. There's three of these, right?
Sounds good.
If you had unlimited funds in a 3-car garage, what 3 cars would be parked in those spaces?
Ooh.
Unlimited funds. You are unlimited like the richest funds guy in the world.
Okay. Unlimited funds. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with one of those, I don't know if you've seen them probably, but those, it's a Porsche 911, but they're like customized by that company Singer, where it's like, they take like old 911s from like the 70s, 80s, 60s, whatever, and they like upgrade them under the hood and like modernize them to where they drive nice and whatever, but it still looks like a old school Porsche 911.
Nice. So like the air-cooled 911.
Yeah.
But being able to drive it as like a daily driver type.
Today's
standards.
Yeah. And if I could get any paint job on that, I'd do the like the Gulf Racing colors of the like turquoise or whatever with the orange.
Oh, like the white, orange, and
it's like a light blue. Yeah. It was they raced under those colors for a long time.
That's a nice car, man.
Yeah, and then I'd go for probably like a Dodge Demon because I think they're hilarious.
Okay, would it be like the brand new one that's about to come out, the 170, or just any Dodge Demon from any year?
I mean, I would be happy with anyone. No, is there an old school Demon? Is that a thing? Okay.
I remember seeing the little Demon badge on like those 1970 cars.
Okay. No, I guess I'd go for a modern one of those. I would be fine with any Demon, but yeah, I'll take that latest one you're mentioning for the hell of it, because I have unlimited funds, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. So you have an allocation on a Demon 170. All right.
Yeah, Porsche, there you go.
In Gulf Racing colors. Cool. Yeah. What's the third one?
Let me see. I'll go for one of those. I'll get imported as a flex. One of those Toyota Sentries, those like really luxurious Toyotas that they only sell in Japan for like the Emperor of Japan and stuff like that.
I haven't seen those, but I'll look.
It looks like kind of like if Toyota made an old school like Rolls Royce. It kind of looks like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and just for the hell of it, because why not? If I have unlimited funds, I'll get a car imported.
that's like some like residential car right there.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously you would need to have like a chauffeur drive you around at that one.
I guess so, but if I have unlimited funds, right? So
yeah, exactly. There you go. You can pay your chauffeur.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Perfect, man. So that's a pretty nice garage. I will tell you that there were some unexpected ones, like that last one, I will say. So have you ever played Track Daily Crush?
No.
All right. So it's like a variation of other type of game like that, I guess. I'm not going to say which one, but I'm sure you
can
kind of decide.
Nah, yeah, I got you. I'm tracking.
All right. So I'm going to give you three cars. You have to pick one that you will track, one that you will daily, and one that you will send to the junkyard to get crushed. So I'm going to do two from your garage and one that's kind of sentimental for you. So you got your dad's Celica. The one that brought you into car enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Right?
The one.
You have the Dodge Demon, and you have that perfect singer Porsche 911.
Ooh.
Track Daily Crush.
Okay. So like I feel like a horrible person for saying this, but I think I'm going to have to crush the Celica.
Oh, well, I mean,
it's sentimental, yeah. But like, I'm not that sentimental compared to the other two options. Like, I love that car.
That is an answer.
I love that car, but if one's got to go, I guess it's going to be that one. And then tracking, I mean, the tracking, I'm going to have to track the Demon just because, like, it's a wild car anyway. And, like, I feel like tearing it up on the track would be awesome, even though it's not, like, design necessary. It's more like a street Demon, right? But, that's got to be fun to tear around the track, which would leave the daily for the Porsche just because I wouldn't want to, you know, run it ragged on the track, and I wouldn't want to crush it. So I figure I'll drive that daily just because that I've always thought those were awesome cars. And the idea of a like modernized one that can like run for years to come would be it just sounds pretty hard to pass up.
That's awesome, man. So that was unexpected. Usually people go with the sentimental route, but that's
I know.
I like that. Hey, man.
So it hurts me. It hurts my heart to crush that car, but
hey, it has to be done, right?
One of them. Yeah, somebody had to go.
Exactly. Hey, man, we are getting down to the last couple of seconds of our interview. So I wanted to thank you for jumping on with me. This was great. And I really think that your insight really is helping others out there like that. So are there any last words or advice, tips that you want to share?
Oh, well, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. And I've had a great time talking with you as well. The only advice I can really give is kind of circles back to what we talked about earlier. If you're interested, if automobiles, you know, the automotive scene is what you're interested in, there's kind of an avenue to get in there doing almost anything I can think of, whether it's working with your hands or being artistic or being, you know, socializing with people, being more on the sales end of things, stuff like that. There is a space for you in the automotive sector for sure.
Perfect, man. That is awesome. Great advice. I appreciate it, man. Joe, where can people find you?
Awesome. People can find me at probably the best place would be my portfolio website. Has connections to my, you know, my email address, my LinkedIn, everything like that. And that can be found at josephvdwyer.com.
Joe, it's been awesome talking with you today. Thank you so much. And I know that this interview will really resonate well with the audience.
Awesome. Glad to hear that, man. I hope that, yeah, if somebody hears this and sees that they can make it in the world of cars too, because it's an awesome space and there's plenty of room for new people to hop in and make their leave their impression.
Perfect, man. Well, thanks so much, Joe. I hope you have a great day, man.
Awesome. Likewise. Have a good one, Carlos. Motor Mystery.